Our gospel lesson is from John, the 15th chapter. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because they have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you because of the beginning, because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin because they do not believe in me. About righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. For this reason I say, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Here ends our scripture for the day. The disciples were sure changed because of this, and I don't want you to miss that as we go through this and listen parts of it again. They were changed. This Pentecost is an interesting history in the Christian community. Pentecost has been a collection point for the division of beliefs, like so many times. We look at different faith communities. There's different thoughts about how they do baptisms, how they do communion, how they do church membership or church clergy education or ordination, and how they do the different biblical interpretations. Sometimes the divisions are minor. Other times have been a wedge that divides friends and even divides families. So if we look at Pentecost, let's look for the results of the coming of the Holy Spirit into the disciples' lives. Well, we have a rush of a violent wind, it says, from heaven. There's a divided tongues as of fire, and we have some symbols of that, how that divided tongues would look if it was over all of us. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. I was thinking that this would just be like a quick foreign language course. They were able to speak in languages that weren't of their own community. And because Jews from all over came to Jerusalem to this holy time of year in their lives, they could hear those languages. We could be there and we could hear it in English, because there'd be somebody speaking that language in English, or Spanish, or Arabic, or whatever. Because these disciples were going to be soon going out into other countries with the good news of what God has done for each of us way back then and now. The many folks that day heard their language and asked, Are these not guys speaking who are speaking Galileans? How come that we hear each of us in our own native language? The scripture gives us a wonderful, wonderful idea of all these different people. And I just, there's some words that I remember when I first did this out of going to seminary, and I was at Presbyterian Seminary in Dubuque, and I remember that first Sunday I was going to read that in church, because I was a student pastor, and there were they didn't have the stuff up here, so I left out some of the words, because I don't, oh my gosh, but Mesopotamia. You just think, wow, I wonder what their high school football team was called. The Mesopotamia Bulldogs, okay? Or Judean Cappadocia. I love that name. Cappadocia Wildcats, you know? It was there's so many beautiful words. The Holy Spirit made it so they could hear in their own language, speaking about God's deeds of power. Now, for many years, some have said, well, we don't agree with that. It's unknown language, and therefore, you've got to have somebody else in the congregation who will interpret that, what they're saying. And that's, some people have moved this event to that. And others sneered, and even today, some say, well, they're filled with new wine, so they're drunk, so don't listen to them. You see, Christians will always have some this experience, even in our own church gatherings. Some will say, well, we don't believe this. And what do we often do? Well, we're not going to confront them, okay? We can talk gently about it, but we're certainly not going to say what Peter is going to say down the road here. We just stand back and let them run down the Holy Spirit scriptures, because they've read and they know. There were devout Jews from every nation, and the sound of the crowd was gathering was bewildering. And they were amazed, and they all were perplexed. What does this mean? The same disciples had run away to hide when Jesus was arrested. Peter denied Jesus three times as they were standing around the fire and getting warm. I don't know who that is. I'm not a follower in him. The world, the women the next day, they stayed at the cross, by the way, remember? The next day, some women went to prepare the body. But there is a change in these disciples. Peter stands and raises his voice, and he addresses them. This is the one who would hardly say anything. And now he says, men of Judea, and women, and all who live in Judea, Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, they are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, okay. I always struggled with that, because when I grew up, the third shift in Platteville opened the taverns at 6:30 in the morning. I was not in those. I was in high school going to school, but I knew the taverns were open. It's this different Peter speaking strong words that touched people's lives. With courage, He was fortified with the words he was not afraid to say. He had changed with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the last days, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. How many have flesh in this room? You all do. We stand, whether adult or an infant, and are baptized. The Holy Spirit, that seed, grows in you. And sometimes, as we go along in our life, we just kind of put it aside and say, well, I'm just a church member. And we kind of downplay the Holy Spirit. Your old men shall dream dreams, and even the slaves, both men and women. In my these days I will pour out my Spirit. Since then, those days, some folks have said the Spirit of God spoke through unknown tongues. And they said, some churches say, well, unless you speak in tongues, you're not a real Christian. I do believe God Almighty prepares hearts to listen. My experience has been taking God's holy word and telling the story of how it possibly means in our lives. When I was the camp director of Wisconsin Badger Camp, it was a camp for development disabled. Now it's cognitively challenged, and it still operates down by Prairie du Chien. And we had a staff member, and we would go out and we'd have to do talks, we'd do presentations, we'd interview staff members and put up tables that, you know, people could come and talk to us. And Paul would sometimes drive, and I would drive some other times. And he was not a believer. He didn't believe any of it. But you know what he did? He kept asking questions. And I was pretty young then. Well, I think 40 is young, isn't it? Well, and I wasn't a pastor, I was a camp director. And he'd ask a question. Well, how do you know God forgives you? Or what does this mean? And somehow, in some way, I was prepared with some answers that I didn't, you know, grab the answer right away and shove it down his throat. Or, as some people say, I didn't unload the whole wagon of hay. There's an old joke about that. I just gave him a little bit of, well, this is what I believe and what I think I hear. Well, the guy threw tough questions quite often. What's this repenting to God? Of turning around and what does it mean for Christ to go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sins as the Lamb slain for God? He always said I had an answer for everything, and that was not the truth, but hey, I let him believe it. Now, this is what I heard, and this is what I read, Paul. I found the answers from what God is simple. There were many trips I didn't see him as trying to get him to believe. I just answered his questions. The words would come and I'd share them. Years later, after I left the camp, after 10, 11 years, and I went to seminary at the University of Dubuque, which is a Presbyterian seminary. We had Methodists there teaching us, I was going to say the right way, but I didn't want to do that. That would give us the Methodist bend on different things. I remember serving as a a student pastor at three different churches. Anybody hear of Avoca? Gotham? Wyoming Valley? Well, I tell you, you are missing a lot. On Sunday morning, I drove 60-some miles to do three services. And this one weekend, and I had a knock on the door, and who was it? It was Paul. Paul was there. Hi, Rich, how are you? He said, you got a minute? Sure, come on in. He said, you know, it all started out on those trips, but I've come to believe and trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I went, wow. It was like, I really didn't know I was doing that, even though I was. And I can look back at now and be more open to when it happens again. The Holy Spirit had worked within his very soul back on those many trips. God was working. Pentecost was a physical power that touched their deep lives and gave them courage. They spread over the entire area. They say that Pentecost, there was a result of 3,000 people believing in Jesus that day. This same Holy Spirit is in each of us. As we were baptized, or we came and stood as an adult and said, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. May you begin to see again the answer which is given to you. You know what? It's not just the pastor's job. You carry more influence than what you realize. Think of people who in our church stood with a hat like that and a big smile and said, I'm glad to be here today. God's so good. And we all went, yes, yes. God gives us insight. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit won't let you screw somebody up. If you do it kind of in the wrong way, guess what? They won't remember it. But it's that one or two words. Remember the sermon I said that was so terrible? And one Sunday, I think I used this example, but one Sunday, the week was terrible. Funerals, there was just a lot going on. And the sermon wasn't even really put together well, and I didn't have time to throw it out and start again. And so people went out and they said, boy, that was the best sermon you've ever done in your life. I especially liked that part about the Green Bay Packers. I looked back in, I never mentioned the Green Bay Packers at all. So when people walked out and said, that was a good sermon, I just go, I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad it helped you. It's humbling, I tell you. It is. God knows what to do, what chords to pull that kind of say, well, you're not as smart as you think you are. I can do it better, God says. So let us close and move on to the communion service today.